glad you guys aren't leaving. On this blustery Easter morning, it's good to know that despite the gray skies and all of the wind-blown faces coming in from the parking lot, that we see the promise of new life in the beautiful flowers this morning. And despite the cold, or maybe because of it, this is a day filled with possibility for new life, new hope, and extravagant grace. It was still dark, according to the fourth gospel writer, when Mary went to the tomb on the morning of the Sabbath. Amazing things can happen in the darkness. It may appear to be dull and without form, but darkness can bear surprise and hope and anticipation in a way that the light of day cannot. Mary must have been filled with raw emotions when she got up in the darkness and went to the tomb early. When she got there, the stone had been removed. Mary, being a smart girl, instead of going inside alone, ran to Peter and John, and they come running as well. They entered the tomb and saw nothing but folded linens in the place where the body should be. Filled with fear, they returned, as Scripture says, to their own places. But Mary remains behind. At the dawn's early light, she is struck at the tomb and cannot return home. Like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John begins his story of the resurrection with the empty tomb. But after that, he departs from the rest. There's only one woman instead of several. There are no earthquakes or guards, no angels in the beginning. There's only early morning darkness and a woman standing at a graveside. Next, a critical conversation with someone she supposes is the gardener. At first, their exchange is logical and measured, but at the sound of her name, all logic ceases, and she recognizes him as the one that she is looking for. Running to tell the others, she moves to confession. She says, "I have seen the Lord." With the sound of her name and the recognition of the risen Lord, Mary moves from the shadows of ordinary lives to the beginning of a new day. She's released from a Good Friday world, and she runs straight into Easter. This morning there are those among us who are muttering, I wish it were that easy. For all of our Easter hope, we feel stuck in a Good Friday world. The Good Friday world tells us that the powers and principalities of injustice dominate our lives and our systems, and that there is no way out of it. If we try, we will meet with resistance or unleashed hostility and even violence. We tend to crucify Christ by denying the best among us and in us, and by failing to stand up for the things that make for peace. Marcus Borg writes, "Jesus did not die for the sins of the world as much as because of the sins of the world." Injustice and suffering can become so routine to us that we might actually believe it is a normal part of our civilization. We're tempted to believe that war and terrorism and violence and division are simply a part of the bargain if we decide to live on this planet. This is the world stuck in Good Friday. William Sloane Coffin reminds us to be a citizen of a Good Friday world. You don't need to be a monster. It's enough to be a nice guy, not a good person. To inhabit a Good Friday world, it's enough to be half alive, allowing ourselves to just barely lift our heads up to peer out. The power of Good Friday is the power of believing that we're stuck in place. It's the power of believing that Sunday will never come. It's the power of settling for despair when we know that the hope is lurking right around the corner. The power of Good Friday laughs at the power of God to make a new heaven and a new earth. But the demands of the empty tomb on Easter morning is that we become, in St. Augustine's words, human beings fully alive. Ours should not be a half-hearted and even skeptical Easter, calling forth a tepid, "He is risen," as we sit quietly in our pews. If we believe that life conquers death, then we have to learn to practice resurrection. Everywhere I turn, I see stories of resurrection, of refusal to be dominated by the fear and despair and grief and hatred in this world. In this congregation, there are so many stories that my heart cannot hold them. A woman with cancer holds on with a toughness of a spiritual prize fighter. A widowed man finds his way by staying busy and honoring the gift of love. It takes enormous hope to move out of a Good Friday and practice resurrection. But I've seen people run straight from the empty tomb into a new life. Each one has kept some room in their heart for the unimaginable. James Allison writes that in the light of the resurrection, we can look back and see how the whole pattern of our living has been cast in terms of death and its associated fears. The resurrection doesn't cancel death out. Whether we are freed to be unconfined by our fears, to stop seeking false security. Resurrection frees us and enables us and almost forces us to live with the sense of the uncontainability of God's love for us in the world. At Easter, as of no other time in the church year, we can grasp the absolute power of God's love for the world. If God has a spiritual practice, it is certainly resurrection. The words of the prophet Isaiah call out to us from centuries past. God promises a new heaven and a new earth, and an end to every distress. Even in Jerusalem there will be rejoicing, for the lion and the lamb will find a way to feed together, and dust shall be the serpent's food. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all of God's holy mountain. God's practice is resurrection. In a renewed creation and a peaceable kingdom, hope outlasts our despair. And love engages all of our fears. And compassion pushes our apathy right out the door. And justice reigns forever and ever. The Apostle Paul reminds us that if in Adam all die, then in Christ all shall be made alive. Fully alive is to be about the work of resurrection in the world today. There is a place called the Center for Peace and Reconciliation in Jerusalem that works with youth who have become discouraged by the lack of peace, encouraging them to remain nonviolent. Their Palestinian director wrote about resurrection hope in the midst of a Good Friday world. Listen to his words. He says, the Christian community is meant to be a mutual hope society, with each one offering courage to another whose hope has waned, insisting that even in the darkest of nights, new life will shine. Alleluia, he is risen. Indeed, he is risen. Even when some among us are deeply living in perilous situations, our message is that we keep our hope alive and believe that God is renewing the face of the earth and light has dawned upon us. Alleluia. Keep practicing that joyful shout. Someone will hear its truth. The gospel says that when that astonishing morning was over, that Peter and John returned to their places. It took them a while for the news to set in. I pray that we return to our places in the world, forever changed by the news of Easter. Alleluia. He is risen. Keep practicing this joyful shout so that all will hear his truth. Amen.